Good evening and welcome. I'm Joseph Sedor with the Monterey County Resource Management Agency Planning. And welcome this evening to the Pebble Beach Company scoping meeting for the Inclusionary Housing Project Environmental Impact Report. As it states on the agenda tonight, we'll be doing a short presentation followed by a comment period, and then followed again by a second presentation for any late arrivals at 7:30. And then the comment period will end at 8:25, followed by a quick wrap-up. So we have a short presentation. First, I'll talk just briefly about the purpose of the scoping meeting, and then we'll introduce the Environmental Impact Report team members. I'll talk a little bit about the project background, followed by an overview of the EIR process and environmental topics that will be covered in the Environmental Impact Report. And then we'll get into the scoping comments. And during the scoping comment period, later in the presentation, I'll talk about the guidelines for the scoping comment periods. So the purpose of an EIR scoping meeting is to receive comments from the public, from all of you here present tonight, to help us determine the scope and content of the EIR. And of course, based on your comments, both verbal and written, that you submit from now until September 19th, those comments may help modify the scope and content of the EIR. And all comments, verbal and written, will be included as an appendix in the EIR, in the draft EIR. The EIR team consists of the County of Monterey Resource Management Agency as the lead agency, CEQA lead agency, California Environmental Quality Act. And on the county team, we have Mr. John Ford, RMA Senior, Services Manager, sorry, and then Bob Schubert, RMA Senior Planner, and then myself again, Joseph Sedor, Associate Planner with the RMA. And then the EIR consultant is ICF International, and here tonight we have Kate Giberson, who is a senior project manager with ICF. Also on the EIR consultant team, we'll have Rich Walter, principal with ICF International, as well as a number of technical experts in ICF who will be helping to prepare the various sections of the EIR. Back in June of 2012, the Monterey County Board of Supervisors approved the Pebble Beach Company project, PLN, or County Planning File Number PLN 100138. Part of that approval included a condition number 18, requiring Pebble Beach Company to provide inclusionary or affordable housing, a minimum of 18 units, somewhere in the Greater Monterey Peninsula Area Plan, or if not constructing a minimum of 18 units, then paying a total of approximately $7 million of in-lieu fees. So Pebble Beach Company has decided to meet Condition 18 by constructing housing units versus paying the in-lieu fee, which was the interest or the desire of the Board of Supervisors. They would, as stated during the public hearings, they would rather see the units built rather than simply receiving an in-lieu fee. So Pebble Beach Company then, in turn, applied to construct 24 units of inclusionary or affordable housing in Area D. And Area D, as you know, is located here, just north and east of SFB Morse Drive. and south of the intersection of Congress Road and Ortega Road, and adjacent to the Del Monte Park neighborhood in Pacific Grove, but all located within the inland area of the Del Monte Forest. So here's an enlargement of Area D. So the Pebble Beach Company proposal that will be evaluated and analyzed in the EIR is 24 units of inclusionary housing in four two-story buildings, approximately 7,000 square feet apiece, and associated grading and driveway and parking spaces. There will be 24 covered parking spaces and 26 uncovered parking spaces, as well as 3 handicap parking spaces, and then a small 500-square-foot manager's office, as well as the associated landscaping around the perimeter and interior of the project site. So in total, the buildings and impervious surface areas or road areas and parking would total approximately 1.4 acres. The landscape area would be about 1.2 acres for a total of approximately 2.6 acres of impact or site area. And the remaining 10.5 acres of Area D, which would also include this area on the west of SFB Morse Drive, would be placed in open space. Okay, and now Kate's going to get up and speak a little bit about the purpose of the EIR.
Hi, I'm Kate Giberson with ICF, and I'm the project manager for the EIR. So I'm just going to go through a brief overview of the process. The California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA, is an environmental law that requires state and local agencies to consider the environmental implications of a project or other action over which they have discretionary approval. An environmental impact report, or EIR, is a detailed informational document. And the primary purpose of the EIR is to inform the decision makers and the public of the significant impacts of the project. It'll also go through and identify mitigation measures and alternatives that could avoid or reduce those impacts. With respect to the alternatives that will be considered in the EIR, they must be reasonable and feasible, and they must meet most of the basic project objectives and reduce at least one of the significant impacts identified. This is an overview of the EIR process with respect to the lead agency's primary role. The first step for the lead agency is to identify the scope and the content of the EIR. Then they'll prepare the EIR evaluation that goes through and identifies the impacts and potential mitigation measures and alternatives and all the things I just talked about. Then it goes out on the streets for public and agency input. After the 45-day public review period, the lead agency will prepare a final EIR that addresses all of the substantive issues that were raised during the public and agency review period. It will make revisions as necessary to the EIR, and it will respond to all the comments in one form or another. Once the final EIR is complete, the lead agency adopts findings for each of the significant impacts identified, and they adopt mitigation measures. They will also adopt a mitigation monitoring and reporting program that assures the mitigation measures will be implemented. Once those things have been adopted, the EIR can be certified as complete, and then the lead agency can proceed with their decision-making process on the project. As shown on the flow chart, once the lead agency decides that they're going to prepare an EIR, the first step is to issue an NOP, or Notice of Preparation, and start the scoping process. Scoping is the process of determining the scope, content, and focus of an EIR. It helps identify the mitigation measures and alternatives that might be used. It helps identify methods of assessment that might be used. And it also can help identify issues that don't need to be considered if there's a non-issue, such as agricultural resources in this case. The state CEQA guidelines identify which topics, which environmental topics or resource areas need to be addressed. And these are the 15 that will be addressed in this EIR, all the way from aesthetics, air quality, biological resources, cultural resources, geology and soils, greenhouse gas emissions and climate change, hazards and hazardous materials, hydrology and water quality, land use and planning, noise, population and housing, public services, recreation, transportation and traffic, and utilities and service systems. The guidelines also require that more than just the direct impacts of the project are evaluated. It must also identify indirect impacts of the project and cumulative impacts of the project. And the cumulative impacts are those of the project plus those of other projects that could also contribute to a cumulative effect. And, of course, the alternatives will be evaluated as well. That's required by CEQA. With that, I think I'm going to hand it back to Joe for public comment.
Okay, we're getting ready to start the first comment period. And you can either verbally state your comments this evening, or you can provide a written comment, or both, if you want. And there are comment sheets on the back table near the entrance. And we also have a sign-in sheet, so if you'd like to be added to our contact list and mailing list, please put your name on the sign-in sheet and your contact information, address, and email address. And you can also provide written comments via email to myself at cedorj@co.monterey.ca.us and at cequacomments.co.monterey.ca.us, or you can mail your comments into the Monterey Resource Management Agency at 168 West Alisal Street, Salinas, California. All comments, whether written, mailed, emailed, are due or made verbally tonight, of course, are due no later than September 19th of 2014 by 5 p.m. And as I said before, all comments that are provided will be incorporated into an appendix and included in the draft EIR when that's circulated for public review and comment. Just a couple more administrative comments, of course. The exits are on both sides of the auditorium. There are restrooms in the back of the auditorium. And we also have display boards of the project site at the back of the auditorium. We have a basic site plan. A site plan on an aerial overlay, the elevations of the project site, and then we also have the proposed landscape plan or conceptual landscape plan on two of the display boards, so you can get a better understanding of what the project site would look like with landscaping and the surrounding native vegetation that would be left in the open space areas on the project site. Just a few guidelines for the comments. When we start, we have microphones set up on both sides of the auditorium, to your right on that side in that corner, and then also to your left on this side. And so when you come up, please speak into the microphone because we are recording and videotaping meetings so that we ensure that we accurately reflect your comments that are provided to us. And we ask that no one speak from the audience. If you would like to speak, please come up to a microphone and only one person speak at a time. We'll probably alternate sides if there are people at microphones on both sides. Also, I just want to say a few more things about the purpose of the scoping meeting. Again, the scoping meeting is to help us focus the scope and content of the analysis for the environmental impact report. This is not a public hearing in the sense that it doesn't provide really an opportunity for speaking in opposition or to or support of the project. That is something that would be done at the Planning Commission public hearing when that is scheduled, probably sometime early next year in 2015. We ask that you focus your comments tonight on areas of potential environmental impact that you believe should be addressed and analyzed in the environmental impact report. And as Kate identified already, there are a number of areas that are already planned to be addressed. So if there's anything in particular that you would like to bring to our attention, please let us know that. This is not a question and answer type of meeting. So you can certainly ask a question. We'll take that as a comment, but we may answer minor procedural questions, but we're not going to answer specific questions about the project because that will be analyzed in the EIR. And yes, thank you. Also, comments will be limited to 3 minutes per person, and we'll give you a 1 minute. We'll give you a heads up when you have 1 minute left in your 3 minute time frame. Okay? And either of you like to say anything more? Okay. So, with that, I think we'll get started. There's no need to sign in, and we'll start with the gentleman over on that side of the auditorium.
Can you hear me? Okay, thank you. I was at the meeting last week, and they had discussed this Area D, and there was an alternative came up. After looking at the area, we thought that the current one, Pacifico Gate, where the old fire department or the old station used to be, you currently have right there public transportation. You're within walking distance of the high school sports facilities. You're within walking distance of the beach, and you have medical facilities that case by. This way, Pebble Beach would be able to bring their equipment out if they need to, if these people are employees of Pebble Beach, rather than put this facility inside the gate, because I think that would cause a certain amount of problems as it is already. So, again, I'd like you to reconsider and look at that area. It's got all the accommodations you need, fire department, ambulance, recreational facilities, the beach, plenty of restaurants, and it's a good place right there for children to grow up in. Thank you.
Sir, could you please provide your name?
Yeah, my name is John Chipley. I've lived here on the beach in Pebble Beach for 40 years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, any speakers who do come up, if you could please provide your name so that we can include that in the record. Thank you.
Jim Hemphill, Pebble Beach resident, 2822 Congress Road. I'd like to first speak about the land use and planning that you've asked all about. The mission statement by the county general plan says the purpose of zoning regulations is not to change the character of a neighborhood, the characteristic of a neighborhood. This project greatly reduces and changes the character of the neighborhood. For your information, if you don't already know, and I would like the EIR coming to be aware, from Morris Road to Forest Lodge Road, there are 22 homes in an area of about a mile long. This proposal talks about put 24 units within a couple of hundred feet. That does, in fact, change the character of a neighborhood. I have reports from residents in Pebble Beach talking about traffic, schools, safety that I would like to give one copy to the EIR company and one copy to the planning department. So when I'm done, if I could hand it to you, Joe, I'd appreciate that. We seek viable alternatives to inclusionary housing. We are not against inclusionary housing, but it should be planned and put in the proper places. And certainly the amendment or the change, the exception, whatever you want to call it, to MDR4, four units per acre, to 10.5 units per acre is not proper in our opinion and needs to look at alternative sites. I've received a number of calls from brokers who have properties in Monterey, Pacific Grove, Carmel, who have properties that this housing could be built on. This is what we feel should be looked at and discussed. So investigating the alternatives, to me, is a major, major part of what the EIR should be doing in the next few months. One of the things, and I'll try not to make it a question, but in the initial thing they talked about, the Pebble Beach Company saying they're going to put two trees up, replace two trees for every one removed. Well, if they remove 800 trees, you're talking about 1,600 trees. You just said, Mr. Sidora, the mapping landscape shows 1.2 acres. Well, 1,600 trees on 1.2 acres, that's going to be beyond a forest. It's going to be a wall, I would think. So if you could take a look at where these 1,600 trees are going to go. And the definition of the Monterey Peninsula, also in earlier remarks they said marina, seaside, et cetera, are not part of the Monterey Peninsula. What is part of the Monterey Peninsula?
Yeah. Sir, you've got 30 seconds.
Okay. So I think the big thing that we'd like to do, and in these reports we'll show you one from a gentleman who is a traffic engineer, another report on schools I'd like to have part of the record. Thank you.
If you could give your name.
Carol McCarthy, and I live in Del Monte Park. And I came here tonight. I was going to read a speech that I had written, and my computer at the last minute garbled everything. So, and I won't be handing in a written. I was going to hand you a written one, but I'll do that by mail. I just want to make a few comments. I'm just picking out of things that I was going to talk about. Considering just the environmental degradation factor, I feel that Area D should not be the choice for any multifamily apartment development project, inclusionary housing or not. More suitable, less environmentally damaging sites are available for Pebble Beach's inclusionary housing needs. My first choice for the inclusionary housing would be the proposed site at the intersection of Sunset Avenue, Pacific Grove, and 17 Mile Drive, Pebble Beach, as also supported by the City of Pacific Grove Council and Del Monte Neighbors United. And I just wanted to make a couple of requests or notes. As part of the EIR, it'd be helpful if the zoning rezoning history of Area D would be available in one list for the public to see and understand. It's a real nightmare going out there on the internet and trying to piece this all together, how and when all the zoning we have today happened, because it used to be open space at one time. Now it has a designation of SSRMP, which is site-specific resource management plan. And, you know, it's been equated with Sawmill Gulch the Gowan Cypress and other preservation zones. It has a preservation status, and I you showed that on the diagram that you had up there, and I was glad to see that. But, you know, something, it is a special piece of land, and just to be putting 24 high-density resident apartments there is not the way to go. And I had was remarking about, and this is again is a confusion on my part of the zoning. It's 4 8-unit acres, 4 units per acre. And I don't quite understand how those units are broken up. I mean, I see the four buildings, and I think that this is going to occupy 2 acres of land. So, you know, it's a pretty dense footprint.
You've got 1 minute.
Okay. And my recommendation, if it happens that there would be apartments there, you'd have to make these apartments smaller and reduce the density. Right now, 24 apartments, that's a high density count for residents living there. And, you know, that multiplies the degradation of the environment all around it in the preserved areas. So that area is not appropriate for multiple apartments. So anyway, that's my comments.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Michelle Newbert, and I live on Ortega Road in Pebble Beach. I want to thank you people for coming tonight. We don't have a mayor to go to. Probably you wouldn't have to be here if we did have our own city. We're kind of under the control of a major corporation that made $147 million last year. We need inclusionary housing. I'm 100% for it. But it should be in an area that's not going to harm our environment. And I'm going to be giving you a copy of what I typed up. I'm going to start with there was a Huckleberry Hill was part of a report given to the California Department Fish and Game by Jones and Stokes, Sacramento, California, December 1996. It cited the Monterey Pine Forest Conservation in JSA 96-041 in pages 2 through 8. This is a very extensive, thorough report on Congress Road Management. It called the Monterey Pine Forest in that area high priority, important because it's unfragmented. Now, then the Pebble Beach Company came along in 1999. And their purpose is to develop as much of this property as they can, which is normal for a corporation. The gate, the Morse Gate, was not authorized, wasn't really planned. It's actually illegal. It broke up this fragmented forest. So Area D, which we are looking at right now, is in this report as part of the other end. When you talk about a forest, you're talking about the animals, the trees, everything in the soil. So this is what I'm here today about. And again, Huckleberry Hill area. There's an alternative site that I'm going to give you a packet of photographs. And it is the employee housing area on 17 Mile Drive across from Spanish Bay. It was built, it's total asphalted over. There's the complete area was clear cut, not even left one standing tree. But it's perfect for housing development because it's already asphalted. It already has electric utilities engaged because of the streetlights. These photos, if you look at them, you'll find that three-fourths of that parking lot, they didn't need it. It's vacant. Around the parking lot, from 20 to 40 miles, all around the entire perimeter, which is also logged, there is additional land. So there's plenty of room for a 24-unit apartment. You said 1 minute?
Yeah.
Okay. I also included here a May 2012 report about we're not going to have a golf driving range. Then I report a May 2013 report, oh, we are having a golf academy and driving range. And here we are May 2014, and we have apartments. The plans from Pebble Beach continually change. This shouldn't be happening. We need to annex the Carmel side to Carmel, the Pacific Grove to Pacific Grove, and have the federal government and state government and Monterey regional parts come in and protect our forest. I don't know if you know, we are in a micro environment. The trees are alive here because of the fog. They don't have any fog in Salinas. There's no Monterey pine. There's only three strands in the entire world, and we are one of them. Please help our trees. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Cam Shore. I'm a resident of Pacific Grove. I'll be very brief. I support totally everything stated by the previous speakers, so I won't repeat what they have said. I only want to say that I am for inclusionary housing. But it doesn't make sense to destroy hundreds of trees to accomplish that. when there are other locations which are perfect for that. And I really wish you would take that seriously into consideration. Don't destroy our trees. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is John Honeywell. My wife Juliet and I have lived in the Del Monte Park subdivision for the last 15 years. During that time, we've enjoyed the many types of wildlife that emerge from their home, the forest that is now referred to as Area D. I keep a bird bath down low enough in front of my house to provide water for the animals. So I see deer and their newborn coming out of the forest daily to drink. We have several red-shouldered hawks that live there also. It's nice to be awakened by the piercing cry of the hawks as they call out to one another. A member of the Monterey County Planning Department commented to me that he has seen those red-shouldered hawks as he was taking a hike through the proposed site. But the hawks and the deer are only a few of the animals that live there. Many types of migratory birds call that area home while on their long journeys. It's a nature lover's paradise. We are very alarmed at the prospect of builders denuding that area by cutting down more than 700 trees, many of them mature Monterey pine trees and oak trees. The nearest apartments to the proposed building site are currently many blocks away, up in the Save Mart area by David and Forrest. That area is almost like a completely different subdivision with traffic, noise, parking congestion, intrusive lighting, and even a fast food restaurant. Building apartments on the proposed site will forever change the character of that neighborhood. We currently don't have any problems with traffic, noise, excess nighttime light. With the addition of apartments to our neighborhood, all of those problems will be a great concern. I'm a working man, and so are my neighbors. Many of my friends and relatives could easily qualify for affordable housing. Here on the peninsula, housing is at a premium. I am in favor of building affordable housing, but not at the expense of denuding the forest by removing more than 700 trees, displacing multitudes of animals, and forever altering the habitat in that area. In summary, please include on the EIR the effect of denuding the forest of more than 700 trees to the wildlife that call it home, the effect on our neighborhood of the increased parking, the traffic, the noise, and the lighting. I thank you in advance for the inclusion of these important points. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening. My name is Allison Norton, and I am an attorney with Whitworth Parkin. Our firm represents the Del Monte Neighbors United. The platform of Del Monte Neighbors United is simply this. We support inclusionary housing that is planned and built in a manner that is environmentally and socially responsible. The members of Del Monte Neighbors United are concerned about the present location of the planned inclusionary housing because of the severe and detrimental environmental impacts it will have. The current location would mandate the destruction of over 700 trees, a forest area that has previously been identified as a green space or green belt. The trees include the Monterey pine, a native and precious tree to the Monterey area, and an icon of the Monterey Peninsula, and the beautiful coast live oak. This is not even factoring in the saplings, other shrubs that naturally coat the forest landscape, and it doesn't even include the myriad of animals that folks here have seen. Further, it is believed that this area is a natural wetland. We do request that you look into that very extensively. Wetlands in and of themselves are a valuable and endangered ecosystem in California. It is the position of Del Monte Neighbors United that there are many other feasible and viable alternatives to building this housing development. These feasible and viable alternatives do not include the destruction of a beautiful natural habitat that is enjoyed by both residents of Pebble Beach and Pacific Grove. Del Monte Neighbors United believes that there are many other viable alternate locations, including areas within Pebble Beach, other properties belonging to Pebble Beach, and also the surrounding areas, where a greenbelt would not have to be destroyed. As the courts have stated in San Bernardino Valley Audubon Society versus County of San Bernardino, and I will submit a written comment as well, citing these cases. Quote, the core of an EIR is the mitigation and alternative sections. The legislature has declared it the policy of the state to consider alternatives to proposed actions affecting the environment.
Got it 1 minute.
Thank you. It is the policy of the state that public agencies should not approve projects as proposed if there are feasible alternatives or feasible mitigation measures available which would substantially lessen the significant environmental effects of such projects. Further, in the case of Preservation Action Council versus City of San Jose, quote, an EIR shall describe a range of reasonable alternatives to the project or to the location of the project, which would feasibly attain most of the basic objectives of the project, but would avoid and substantially lessen any significant effects of the project and evaluate the comparative merits of the alternatives. What we're asking is that we don't want simple straw man options just to be struck down. Straw man alternatives are not a good solution. The purpose of an EIR is not to identify alleged alternatives that meet few, if any, of the project's objectives so that these alleged alternatives may be readily eliminated. So on behalf of Del Monte Neighbors United, we ask that the EIR address through a thorough and thoughtful investigation feasible and viable alternative sites. Sites that would not require the destruction of forests and the destruction of over 700 Monterey pine and coast live oak trees. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Ken Cuneo, and I happen to be a city council member of the city of Pacific Grove. I'm here tonight representing my neighbors and residents of Pacific Grove who have real concerns about this particular project. Many of the people who live on those dead-ended streets in Del Monte Park move there for the peace and tranquility that those streets offer them. Their children play in the streets. There's virtually no traffic there. And they use the forest, the adjoining forest, as a means of educating their children as to the benefits of nature. As previously mentioned, there's a plethora of wildlife in there, hawks, squirrels, etc., which are part of a young child's education. This would be removed by the cutting of that forest. The tranquility of those streets would be seriously in jeopardy by having a large apartment house block looming over these streets. The streets there are more like a country lane. We hope that the character of this community can remain. Cutting down a large number of trees is really going to be very destructive, particularly when we all know that there are other areas that would not have this effect. So the city of Pacific Grove is very concerned that not only the people in Del Monte Park, but our neighbors in Pebble Beach will be affected by issues of privacy, traffic, environmental issues of lack of forest, removal of wildlife.
Got 1 minute.
And we do hope that you can take a project which is needed. We understand that affordable housing is very, very important. The Pebble Beach Company has always had a good tradition of working together with its neighbors, Carmel and Pacific Grove. We respect that. But we do ask that you take a project which is good and make it even better by moving it to an area where the impact is not so great on a large number of people. we all should be striving for what's called the common good, the project that does the least amount of harm. I believe that by moving this project to another site that would not have these impacts would be in the best interest of both the people in Del Monte Park, in Pebble Beach, and indeed the Pebble Beach Company. So I do ask your consideration to look at these factors and see if there's not another place where you could make this project even better than it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Lynn Mason. I live on Miles Avenue, and I wish to speak about our forest at the end of Miles Avenue. I raised my children in this neighborhood, and we always went down to the forest. Then my children grew up, and they came to visit with my grandchildren. First thing in the morning, while their parents slept, I would sneak in and get my grandchildren and take them down to the forest, where their eyes lit up in awe. The continuing value of this forest to our area is beyond description. Add to that the huge threat of global warming. It is morally wrong to destroy life-giving trees. There should be no connection between inclusionary housing and this tree-covered site. The Pebble Beach Company owns other sites, locations where trees have already been removed. What the Pebble Beach Company plans with the current proposed complex is actually an ostracized enclave, not a place where people could live safely and comfortably. In this instance, the Pebble Beach Company is not being environmentally or socially responsible. The company must find more feasible locations than in this forest. Other locations could possibly provide smaller homes like duplexes or smaller apartment complexes, where the people living there could be better integrated into the community. When this has been accomplished, our forest will remain an open space, enhancing the lives of Pebble Beach and Pacific Grove residents on into the future for generations to come. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Peter Matthews. I'm a Pebble Beach resident. I live on Coyote Road, which is at the foot of Ortega. And if you look at a map, you will see that Ortega is an almost direct route from Congress down to 17 Mile Drive. It's currently used by many, many, many people daily as a shortcut to Spanish Bay when they're coming to work through the Morse Gate. I think if the housing is built in Area D, that situation is going to be exacerbated greatly. I'm worried about the safety of pedestrians because the roads are very, very narrow. It's already been the focus of a traffic safety initiative involving the highway patrol. They frequently have the lit-up signs that tell you how fast you're driving to remind drivers to slow down. In addition to the roads being very narrow, they have very deep drainage gutters on each side of them, making it almost impossible for two cars going down Ortega in opposite directions to pass each other. And if there's a garbage truck, forget about it. Take another road. There are lots and lots of very elderly people who need to get out and walk around the block and get some exercise. It's already quite hazardous for them. I don't see that it's going to make things any better to put more traffic on those roads. Ortega is not the only road. I've talked to people on Raccoon Trail who, when the latest round of construction was going on, had heavy equipment trucks, transfer dumps, and so on, driving down their street, which they weren't supposed to do, but they were in a hurry. They probably got paid by the load, so they were doing it.
Got 1 minute.
1 minute. Okay. I want to touch briefly on the issue of the forest. There's been a lot of, frankly, propaganda saying Area D is degraded and so on. I hike that area. I hike the entire Huckleberry Hill Preserve area very frequently, and I can tell you that's a fiction. There's other areas in the preserve that are much more degraded, but let's assume, just for the sake of argument, that that argument is true, that Area D is degraded. Doesn't that demonstrate the need for a buffer zone to protect the sensitive habitat across the street? I think it does. If you're going to make that argument, then you can't have it both ways. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Laura Harris. I'm at 1330 Miles Avenue in Pacific Grove. And I just have a list of other items that I would like to see included in the EIR, if possible. Is it possible to measure the social implications of the future residents who will be living in a segregated and branded buildings? Is it possible to measure the emotional health of neighbors who currently live next to the project area as related to human health, related to being near and amongst nature? And to Lynn's point, then, is it possible to measure the historical value of that piece of land? I've only lived there for 3 years, but I hear from many, many neighbors that they think of that as their heritage, but that is definitely historical value there. Can it be included in the EIR how much the use of goats for mowing the area for a minimum of 10 years and the implications of that, because as we all know, the goats mow down the seedlings and lots of other things besides just grass. I recently took the day of the concourse, d'élégance, at 11:30, I took a look at the Spanish Bay parking lot, the parking lot that's just kitty-corner from Spanish Bay. And I took a photograph, and there were only about a dozen cars in the photograph. Happy to share it with you. But you would think that if that parking lot was, in fact, needed, then on the day of one of the largest events in Pebble Beach, that that would be the day that it would be filled, and it just was not at all. I have the photograph.
You've got 1 minute.
Then there are many questions about that I would like to see addressed in the EIR. Is this housing only for Pebble Beach Company employees? How will the residents be selected? And can we be sure that their selection is not tied into Pebble Beach Company employee packages, such as PBC pays an employee less so that then they qualify to live in the housing, as an example? Or, and also, what happens if they lose their job at Pebble Beach Company? Are they evicted? Those types of implications to the selection of Pebble Beach Company employees. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi. Well, according to some people, the forest is degraded, and to some other people, the forest is alive and teeming with...
Sir, could you give your name, please?
Okay. My name's Charles Craddock. I live at Miles on Miles Street.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, really, it's just kind of, you know, everybody else has said everything that really needs to be said that... I know there's a few other locations that would be good, like 17th and whatever. But really, my overall feeling about this is that Pebble Beach Company should just do the right thing, which would be to donate Area D to the Greater Del Monte Park neighborhood. They could either pay the in-lieu fee of $7 million, which, of course, they could probably afford, you know, I wouldn't... or they could, but just to not disturb the really unique character of this neighborhood. So instead of being an adversary to the community and, you know, getting everybody all uptight and stuff, why don't they just do the right thing, as a good corporation should do, you know, which they can easily do. And that's just all I have to say.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Jeannie Giraldo. I live at 1333 Miles Drive in Pacific Grove. I wanted to bring up an issue that's not really been emphasized so far, which is the issue of parking. Right now, I believe there are 53 spots for the 24 units. May even fall one or two short of what code requires, according to my math, but it's around what code asks for. I would point out, though, that code is for usual apartment complex where there's on-street parking to offset overflow from regular visitors and even from regular residents. There is none of that on-street parking available because we're putting an apartment complex into a forest and shoving it into a small space. On the Pebble Beach side, absolutely no parking. We've already talked about the narrow streets there with deep gutters. And on the Miles Avenue, the Pacific Grove side, also no parking. Very narrow roads with no parking, and whatever exists is already a dangerous area because of existing residents parking there. So I would request that the EIR include a parking assessment, and I would use as a basis for this justification the fact that when Pebble Beach plans for the housing were at the Corporation Yard, they had 54 spots for only 18 units. Now they're proposing fewer spots for 24 units. So when they did their own analysis of parking needs when it was going to be in their neighborhood, they put far more parking spots in than they're including in the current proposal. So that alone would suggest that an independent analysis of parking would request more spaces. If we determine more spaces are required for this Area D, then that increases the impact on the environment, and I would ask that be included also in the EIR, that we're assessing the additional number of trees that are going to be cut to have adequate parking.
Got 1 minute.
Thank you. Taking this into account, the impact on the environment, impact on neighbors of now having, instead of trees, having cars parked 20 yards from the end of their streets, the drainage and flooding issues that currently plague that area without it being paved, I would urge the serious consideration of alternative locations like 17 Mile Drive and Sunset, which avoids all the problems for future residents. They're not on a blind curve, plenty of adequate off-street, on-street parking, and avoids any problems for current residents in that area. Given the location, it's an already paved area. No one has cars now in the back of their yards. Very wide streets, buses. So no negative impacts on existing neighbors, better for future residents, and almost no impact on the environment since no trees would need to be cut.
Your time's up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Fred Hernandez. I live on Lawton Avenue in Pacific Grove, five doors up from the Del Monte Forest. And Mr. Sidor, I'm sorry for bringing this up again, but you've seen this again, but this is several broken promises ago, and it was supposed to be a preservation site, and oops, we got a new plan, and again, I just wanted to mention. I know you've seen it before. I want to bring up two things. I want to talk about, expand on the generations of kids who play in that forest. Today, there's a beautiful teepee that they've built from downed wood, and there's a lot of downed wood in that place because they bring in goats every year to cut down. They eat everything, and then they say it's Oh, it's degraded. Well, the goats eat everything, including the new trees. My own grandson came down, and when he was a little guy, and we ran on the mound, and he says, look, we're careful. Don't get down in that water. It's red hot llama. And there's kids doing all that kind of stuff. But I want to talk about the animals. I want to address the fate of some of the animals. I walk my dog every day through that, through what you call Area D and Area C, and also that big meadow area, which I don't know what to call it. But I know that very, very, very well. And I, every day I look for feathers. It's an American Indian, a Native American, taught me how to pray with feathers, and I have several altars in that little neck of the woods where I put my feathers and I pray for people who are ill. Now, I have found in that area.
One minute.
I have found 12 red-shafted flicker feathers. These are not them. These were given to me by a friend in Yosemite. And the only area that has, where I found these 12 feathers, is what you call Area D. There's also ravens, there's crows. I've seen a baby mountain lion in that area. Deers, animals. There's turkey vultures, sparrow hawks, the red-tailed hawk, the red-shouldered hawk, acorn woodpeckers, turkey vultures, all kinds of things. I'm worried about where those animals are going to go. And I plead that you include in the EIR that those animals have to be considered. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Dave Dixon, and I live on Lawton Avenue in Pacific Grove. I've lived there since 1985. And back in 85, you might say, there wasn't a road that went through there. There was all just forest. And then Spanish Bay was proposed. And then they put a conveyor belt in to put quote-unquote dunes out at the shoreline. They weren't really dunes, but they were mined sediment. They were in the Barrow area. They were inland from there. That's an area that was that I, the previous gentleman was describing as hiking into. And then when that was completed or worked on, they told us, well, that's going to be a green belt right in there. And then the green belt idea evaporated, and SFB Morse Drive was built. And the trees that were, I wonder how many trees were taken out in that area and to make room for this two-lane road that went down to Spanish Bay. The idea of changing these parcels from one category to another, from preservation to utilization to intensive housing development is a confusing ordeal, and I think that the EIR should try to pull the history of that so that it could be clarified. You know, I think there's really many alternative locations that have already been described, and that this would preserve the over 700 trees, and I think that the number of trees that were described in that previous environmental assessment were only trees that were 4 inches in diameter at breast height. So all of the smaller trees weren't even counted. So you might have two or three or four times as many trees really in there that are going to be bulldozed and yanked out. And but primarily the trees that are there are Monterey pine and coastal live oak. And the Monterey pine is status, I think it's California Native Plant Society status 1B, which gives it a rarity status. It was nominated to be on the threatened, federally threatened species list when it was, as described, there are 7 different terraces on the Monterey Peninsula, the greater Monterey area, and this is on the either 5th, 6th, or 7th terrace. So there's sand dunes that are in here when the sea level was much higher. The wind-blown sand actually occurred in these upper areas. So as a result of this changed times from back in these glacial periods, the Monterey pine has also changed, and has isolated themselves. These populations of Monterey pines have isolated themselves from each other and actually created these biomes of genetically different, significantly different genetically populations. So that's what the basis of this nomination for threatened status was, because it's thought that, the population, the Monterey pine forest, is a rarity in and of itself, even though there's quite a bit of... I'm almost completed here. I have a few more comments to make, and I think that they're significant, because it really, what happens is if you take out the big trees, especially the big mature trees, you're going to remove cavities that birds that live in the Monterey Peninsula depend on. Without the big trees, cavity nesters can't live here. And there's over 20 species of native, your resident birds that breed here in the Monterey area that depend on those cavity nesters. So I hope that the bird assessment can go on, as well as the botanical assessment. So especially for what I'm... not sure, but hopefully it'll clarify. Does the Yadens piperia live in this particular location? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Tom Housel. I'm a Pebble Beach resident. Just for the record, it's not in my backyard. I don't worry about that, where it's being where it's proposed to be placed. My concerns are that, number one, the current footprint that's provided doesn't include the recommendations of the Housing Advisory Council, and Joe was at that meeting, I believe. And they advised, and I believe it was accepted, that they advised that there'd be a recreation area for the children and some kind of a clubhouse, so that would increase the size of the building area and take a larger part of the forest. The other thing that is I would like you to consider is the fact that you don't have to remove any trees if you consider an alternative where Pebble Beach Company would either purchase or secure maybe 15-year leases with homeowners that rent their homes. There's a lot of rental housing in Pebble Beach, and they could use that rental housing. It wouldn't cut down a single tree, wouldn't disturb a single resident, and wouldn't even be known that that was, affordable housing. And that certainly could be done quickly, and it actually would be a financial benefit to the company. Not that that's my particular concern. The other thing is that it also needs to be investigated in terms of put on the EIR that this is primarily slated for employees of Pebble Beach Company. Because Pebble Beach is such a good employer, they pay too much, and many of these folks that are going to be renting in there will not work for Pebble Beach, don't work for Pebble Beach. They're lower income than that. And so they'll have to come in, they'll have to go to wherever their employer is, which will create more outgoing incoming traffic. And also, if Pebble Beach continues to be a good employer like they've been, They'll raise the salaries of the other employees, and they also will not qualify, so you'll have a continuous churn. That needs to be considered. And so if it's for employees, they'll be making too much money. So they'll have to go in and out of Pebble Beach and create more traffic, and it won't fulfill the needs of low-income housing. So those are my comments. I hope you look at the alternative of renting houses or buying houses that are already in existence. No trees need to be cut. Thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Eleanor Montavani, property owner at 1336 Miles Avenue in Pacific Grove, directly adjacent to the proposed project site. In addition to all the other points that have been raised this evening and will no doubt continue to be raised, both this evening as well as in written comments, I would like to point out that in the opinion of many, Area D is too small for the proposed project in terms of the burden both on the site and on the adjacent areas. Indeed, comments at the LUAC meeting here in Pebble Beach about a year ago were to the effect that no rational developer would put this project as proposed at this site. Some of the effects that I believe will already be scoped within the EIR are the impact of traffic, noise, density, loss of trees, loss of habit, and effect on species. These effects cannot be mitigated. The site is not the only alternative. If a site closer to the Pebble Beach properties where some of these inhabitants purportedly will work is needed, the 17-mile drive and Sunset area has been proposed. It's already developed. There are other alternate sites. Nor is the project as proposed the alternative. Nowhere in the authorizing resolution was it mandated that all these units have to be located on a single parcel. The project as proposed can be located in areas other than Area D per the resolution. Also, it can be reconfigured. I urge that the county and its consultant consider other truly viable alternatives, not straw man alternatives, as has been seen in certain EIRs. Different sites, different configurations should be considered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cosmo Bua, Pacific Grove. There could hardly be a clearer example of a company, not even a municipality, but a company, shoving people it doesn't want into an area it doesn't care about on the edge of town, segregating inclusionary housing away from where it will be, away to where it will be less safe and less livable for the residents. This EIR process is already very troubling because it's starting from a manufactured falsehood, which is the pitting of the need for affordable housing against the survival of a beloved local forest. This is a nonsensical formulation. In reality, there is absolutely no conflict, no reasonable connection whatsoever between this forest and this housing. That is the basic issue the county is faced with here. There is a moral imperative. It is known that it is wrong to destroy a forest. In this case, where there are numerous clear, viable, and even obviously preferable alternative sites for accomplishing this housing goal, it is ludicrous or even insane. Slowly but surely, ecosystems are being granted legal standing worldwide in government constitutions. All the sane people in the world are desperately trying to slow global warming. Is Monterey County going to completely unnecessarily destroy a cherished old-growth forest? This forest has been beloved for generations. Nearby residents were raised going into it to learn about it and enjoy nature. They grew up, had kids, and those kids took their kids there, and those kids have had kids. Grandparents are taking grand and great-grandkids into the same forest, which has always been an important part of their community life. Losing this forest will be losing some very valuable ingrained private and public heritage and depriving future generations. People will be raised and will be different without it. The report of 700-plus trees we're hearing being destroyed is not accurate. As you've heard, only trees of two especially endangered native species are guesstimated, and only those over 4 inches in diameter. Many hundreds more will actually be destroyed. All of these trees and other plants and the migrating bird stop and all of this watershed and displacing all of this wildlife just to cram in housing which can be better and safer situated very nearby on land already deforested by the Pebble Beach Company. It's not just a false choice. It's a violent crime. We must have a serious examination and proposal of reasonable, viable alternative sites from scratch, because this forest is not one of them.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is John Canning. My wife and I live on Shafter in Pacific Grove in the Del Monte Park area. I would like to reiterate the point that this first gentleman made tonight about alternative sites, and that's the 17-mile drive and Sunset properties that are owned by Pebble Beach. That includes the old 17-mile or the old Pebble Beach Market on the corner, and much bigger than that next to it is the old Sunset Patio Supply, which I had never realized was such a large property, has already been cleared of trees, has already been leveled, and is used for nothing more than a storage unit, storage container and furniture storage area for the Pebble Beach Company. And ironically, right next door, their nearest neighbor is a suite of corporate offices for the Pebble Beach Company. In that neighborhood, there's perhaps six houses across Sunset that might be directly impacted. There are two churches, one across 17 Mile Drive, another across Sunset. There's Hayward Lumber, there's the Russell Service Center, and a number of businesses down there. I think it would be kind of ironic to have to clear-cut the forest where it doesn't need to be done when it's already been done in a site that Pebble Beach Company owns. And also the kind of icing on the cake is that Monterey Salinas Transit Route 1 that travels from downtown Monterey through Pacific Grove has a stop directly across Sunset from the proposed site there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Judy Midgley, and I'm a real estate broker in the area and have been for 35 years. And I would like the EIR to address the lack of the lowering of value of homes in the area. Early last year, I decided it was time to get ready for retirement. So I remodeled my house and put it on the market. And I live on Congress directly across from where this project is going to go. And I, 3 weeks after I put it on the market, news of this project came out. And all of a sudden, all the showings stopped on my property. And I called, since I have access to all this information, I called the brokers that were representing buyers who were readily buying other homes away from this area that were smaller in size and more expensive listing prices, and asked them why didn't they even show my property. And they apologized to me and said, oh, you know, we know it's your home and we're really sorry, but our clients do not want to live across the street from apartments. And this is a major issue. I mean, other issues are so important, like traffic is going to be humongous change in traffic in this area. But the value I estimate to be lower by about 30%. Even if I could get anybody to look at my property, I took it off the market. I can't sell it. So I think this is a major – there are homes in this area that are selling, but frankly, they have not disclosed this project. I can't do that as an agent owner. And so I'm asking you to evaluate the economic impact to our neighborhood that will never be the same after this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, James McClure from Pacific Grove. I look at the renderings up there. They don't look all that bad. That's Disneyland up there that you're going to see, and I hope you can take in advance that if Pebble Beach Corporation says that's what they're going to build, that's what it's going to look like, it's really any of us that have lived here for any period of time know that's somewhat of a lie. They won't follow through. They know they won't follow through. It's not going to look that good. Those big trees that show, and I can measure their scale, there's going to be a dead twig in that place. And they're going to say, well, in the future, it might look that way. But I hope you can take into account that it's not going to look like that. What this apartment complex is not going to look like that. I really doubt that they're going to offer any of them to low income also. I think they're pulling the wool over our eyes, to say the least, on that account, too, to keep it nice. It's just any of us that have been around know they wouldn't follow through and they don't plan to.
Sir, could we ask you to focus on
things that should be addressed in the EIR?
That is not going to be the scenario you would see. That's my intent, that you understand that. Okay. The other thing, which is a little off too, these are apartments, obviously. I think a lot of people say, you know, you build single-family homes, it's a non-issue there. I'd like to say is I'm amazed that Pebble Beach, branding, it's an incredible thing that you really wouldn't affect, you don't want somebody to affect your branding. And I'm absolutely amazed that Stillwell, that they're at Pebble Beach going out of their way to hack, to stab their own branding in the back by doing this. And in a way, they're the people that have bought into
investment
in that area.
Sir. I really would ask you to focus your comments
yes.
on the environmental document.
I know, environment.
Well,
I think
you.
The first qualified for that. As I say, I'm just amazed that they wouldn't want to hurt their branding so much. I'm amazed. As a small company myself, I say, you know, I'd be fighting somebody who was doing this to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Jacqueline Phobes. I've been a resident in the forest for 30 years, and I live on Laurel Lane. I agree with almost everything that has been said here tonight, and I'm not going to repeat some of the issues. But one issue that I would like you to address is the issue of noise. If all of these trees are removed, noise travels very differently in the forest. On Laurel Lane, we can hear taps from DLI. We can hear the sea lions on the wharf. We can hear the sea lions at Bird Rock. What kind of noise level are we going to be hearing from Highway 68 if all those trees are taken down? And then would there be some kind of a sound wall put up now or 5 years from now? And also, what are the effects of the additional air pollution from all the vehicles on Highway 68? Highway 68 now is getting repeatedly busier and busier, and it's just gridlock traffic. I can't imagine what it's going to be like, with 100 or 200 more people living in the community. I'd also like to talk about Morris Drive and Congress Road. They're very busy traffic corridors right now, and they're the main access point for Spanish Bay. We get a lot of speeders. The road is very curvaceous, and when you look at where the entrance and the exit to this proposed low-income housing is going to be, how are they going to get in and out? Because there's curves right there where the entrance and exits are. There's kids riding their bikes. There's old people walking. And with limited visibility, I just don't understand how this is going to work. And again, in 5 years, I'm wondering, will this be a four-lane highway? I'd like to ask you to look at what are the traffic projections for the next few years. And also, with the forest being increased by 150 to 100 people, what additional services will be provided by Pebble Beach Security or by the county sheriff? Will taxpayers be asked to pay for these additional services? Pebble Beach residents, as you know, are typically older, they're more vulnerable, and their higher incomes make them more of a target. We've had a lot of problems in the past month with vehicles being stolen during the day and from driveway of people's homes trying to be broken in. I'm just kind of projecting what's going to happen here in the future and how it's going to be addressed. And also, I wanted to know, would the Morris Gate then have to be widened in, say, 5 years' time to accommodate all these additional vehicles coming and going? And in terms of the schools, I was just kind of wondering, again, we're going to have 50 to 75 probably...
Time is up.
Time's up? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
My name's Donald Watson. I live on Magella Road and have lived there for almost 34 years, having seen the development of the Spanish Bay and the conveyor and all. But one thing that has become extremely apparent to me in normal years is the wetlands. vernal wetlands that is there. If you look at the gutters that come down from the land above where this property is proposed or this development is proposed, you'll notice that there are stains on the concrete gutter all along that area, and I hope that the EIR will address the vernal wetlands and perhaps vernal pools that exist in that area and what sort of water control or remedy is proposed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Steve Wilson, 1082 Ortega Road. Guess I'm new to the area. I don't know that much about it, but I really like it. Deeply disturbed to hear about this project that's going forward. When I come from a big city where they just build everything and build in concrete and build it 60 stories up. And really disturbed to hear about these rare species of trees that are going to be compromised for a bit of housing. And we talk about the trees here, but in any diverse ecosystem, there's not just trees, there's not just birds, there's not just a couple of things. We're talking hundreds of species, if not a thousand species in that little density of area. And as the gentleman just mentioned about some wetlands, as I'm just finding out, this area also has probably a greater density of species because of the water and possible aquifer that has under the ground and river, little river channel system that has in it, which will have a greater impact of more more species that are going to be, I don't know, displaced, terminated at the cost of maybe 100 people moving in there. Are these, I want to know that if these species that are going to be in the report, are they going to be all cataloged and itemized? So I just want to know that. And in a proper EIA report, I'm sure that you guys will handle that and can be able to analyze and see if it's worth it. I don't think it's going to be worth it. And also the soils here, I just noticed that they're very temperamental. I come from an area where you can plant anything and it pops up and grows. I've moved some plants and shrubs around, and almost all of them died. They're so sensitive here. So I don't know, just people thinking they're just going to move things around and it's all going to be fine. You know, maybe with a little bit of chemicals and other things that stimulate things, maybe. But the nature has a way of making things happen in its own way. And I came here because I don't want to see the changes that I've been seeing in big cities, and I like it here. I'd hate to see more changes.
Is there anybody else wants to speak? Is there anybody here that was not here for the original presentation that wants to hear our presentation again? Can you raise your hand? Okay, we've got got one person. Yeah. Okay.
Hello. My name is Ted Voigt. I live on Sawmill Gulch Road. I've been there for about 42 years. So I'm familiar with the area. I'm not going to say anything more about the forest. What I am concerned about is that this EIR and consultancy group conduct their academic exercise in such a way that it's reality and it's totally objective. I think it's very important that people that are going to address this and try to objectively come up with some recommendations need to visit on the property, on the area. And it's really critical that whoever is there, don't just do a walkthrough, but go there, not at 10 o'clock in the morning when everybody's gone to work and the streets are empty and the cars are gone. Come there in the evening. Come there on a weekend when people are conducting their normal lives, and you'll see that there are many cars parked in these streets. Now, Christmas time, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, whatever, people tend to invite others over, and that's going to happen with the people that live in these apartments as well. And when you can't get any other parking, because there is none other than the little bit that's provided, they're going to park in some of these feeder streets from Pacific Grove, Miles, Lawton, whatever. And right now, it is so narrow, particularly if you have both sides filled with vehicles from people that actually live there, it's going to be a congestion nightmare. So I know that there's a lot of cross currents of interest interests on all sides of this issue, but I would implore you to please spend some time there, think from an empathetic point of view, and try to visualize what it's going to be like from a noise factor. If you're down at the end of the street, what's it going to be like with all sorts of lighting that will be, of course, necessary because of safety or whatever the reasons. So it could be very, very distracting for those people and change their quality of life forever. So please spend the time there and perhaps conduct or contact our group, and maybe there could be an objective representative here that can take you through and point some of these things out in a rational, low-key way so that you get a true understanding of what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just changing the battery. Oh. Anybody else?
Again, I just wanted to add one more thing. I was hoping that the report, and I'm sure it will, have a geotech report and will be public to us to see. Thank you.
Okay.
You might want to just get a lot of information available on the website.
Yeah. Just a quick response to that last comment made. I believe we already have a geotechnical and geologic report available on our website, which is here at the bottom at www.co.monterey.ca.us/planning/major projects. That's under our public website. And if you go down to the Pebble Beach Company Inclusionary Housing Project, click on that, it'll bring up basic information about the project to date in terms of when the application was submitted, deemed complete, what the current status is, and technical reports that have been submitted. All the technical reports that have been submitted for the project site to date are available on our public website. The only one that's not available and is not releasable to the public is the archaeological report. It is identified on there, but it's not a link that you can click on and open up. Per state law, archaeological reports are not releasable to the public due to cultural resource sensitivities. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not sure the exact reason why that is that way under state law, but we're not... it's not a technical report that we release to the public. Okay. So it's 7:30 again, and we're going to do a second presentation. So if we could go back to the top, to the beginning. And I'll just try and get this get through this quickly for those who arrived late. Again, this is the public scoping meeting for the Pebble Beach Company Inclusionary Housing Project Environmental Impact Report. And I'm going to briefly cover the purpose of the scoping meeting, introduce the team again.
Did you thank people that came and gave comments? Sorry, Joe. The people who are leaving, would you thank them?
Yes. For those of you who are leaving, thank you very much for being here tonight and providing your comments to us, and if you would like to also submit your comments in writing, please submit those in writing as well to the addresses provided. Thank you. Again, welcome, and I'll go through this quickly, and so introduce the team again real quickly, talk about the project a little more. Provide an overview, and Kate will provide an overview of the EIR process again and the environmental topics that will be reviewed in the environmental impact report, and then we'll open up again for more scoping comments. So again, just basic, and Kate's going to go into this in more detail. The purpose of an EIR scoping meeting is to receive comments from the public and about the scope and content of the EIR to help us determine the scope and content of the EIR. And per your comments, that may then influence the modification of the EIR scope and content. Also, all comments provided, whether verbally or in writing, will be included in an appendix that will be attached to the draft EIR when it's circulated for public review, probably sometime in December of this year or January of 2015. The EIR team, the CEQA lead agency is the County of Monterey Resource Management Agency, and representing the RMA is John Ford, RMA Services Manager, Bob Schubert, Senior Planner, and myself, Joe Sedor, Associate Planner. The EIR consultant is ICF International, and representing ICF is Kate Giverson. And also working with the ICF team will be Rich Walter, a principal at ICF, and also many of their in-house technical consultants who will be working on the EIR in different technical areas. Back in June of 2012, the Monterey County Board of Supervisors approved the Pebble Beach Company project known or identified under County Planning File PLN 100138. And included in that approval was a condition number 18, inclusionary housing, requiring Pebble Beach Company to provide a minimum of 18 units of inclusionary housing in the greater Monterey Peninsula area. And just quick response to one of the comments made earlier about what is the greater Monterey Peninsula area. Well, that area is actually defined in the county code. And the greater Monterey Peninsula area, including the incorporated cities, includes the inland area of the Del Monte Forest, Monterey Pacific Grove, and some areas going along Highway 68 out east toward Salinas. There's more to it than that, so if you are interested in seeing what the greater Monterey Peninsula area looks like, that is that information and the map is available on our public website. So again, the condition 18 required the construction of a minimum of 18 units of inclusionary housing or payment of a total of $7 million as an in-lieu fee if the 18 units were not constructed within a certain time frame, a five-year period. So Pebble Beach Company decided to meet Condition 18 by constructing housing units versus paying an in-lieu fee, and they applied, Pebble Beach Company applied for to the county for constructing those 18 units in Area D, okay, as shown on the map here. Area D, shown in green, the project site shown in green, is north and east of SFB Morse Drive and just south of the intersection of Congress and Ortega Roads in Pebble Beach, and, of course, just west of the Del Monte Park neighborhood in Pacific Grove. Don't have my pointer. Anyway, the project site, again, shown in an enlarged format here with an aerial overlay. Thank you. The project will consist of 24 units of inclusionary housing in four separate buildings, approximately 7,000 square feet each, and associated driveway and parking improvements and grading, and a 500-square-foot manager's office in the center. And there will be a total of 24 covered parking spaces, 26 uncovered, and 3 handicapped for a total of 53 parking spaces. That's what's proposed. And parking, again, in response to another comment, parking will be analyzed in the EIR, and or at least looked at in terms of whether or not 53 spaces would be adequate for the housing units proposed. And so the total building coverage and impervious surface coverage, as shown at the top there, would be approximately 1.4 acres. The landscaped area would be an additional 1.2 acres for a total of about 2.6 acres of impact area or project site. And the remaining 10.5 acres of Area D, including the area east of SFB Morse Drive, but also the area west of SFB Morse Drive, would be placed into open space. Before we leave this slide, I just want to comment or respond to a couple of other comments that were made during the evening, earlier during the evening. And people were talking about how this area had been identified as open space. Prior to the approval in 2012, there were three other project proposals that were never approved. So the proposal or what we're working with today in 2014 is the 2012 project approval, not anything that had been proposed before. Okay. Okay, now Kate's going to talk about the purpose of the EIR.
I'm Kate Giberson. I work for ICF, and I'm the project manager for the EIR. The California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA, is the environmental law that requires state and local agencies to consider environmental implications of a project or any other action over which they have discretionary approval authority. An environmental impact report, or EIR, is a detailed informational document, and the primary purpose of the EIR is to inform the decision makers and the public about the significant environmental effects of a project and to identify mitigation measures or alternatives that could avoid or minimize those effects. In terms of the alternatives that could be evaluated in the document, they need to be reasonable and feasible. They need to meet most of the basic project objectives, and they need to reduce at least one of the significant impacts that were identified in the environmental impact analysis. This is a little flow chart that outlines the primary steps for the lead agency through the EIR process, starting with the determining the scope and the content of the EIR, then preparing the draft EIR, which is the evaluation itself, again, identifying the impacts and mitigation measures. Then it goes out on the streets for agency and public input and review. Following the 45-day review period, the lead agency prepares a final EIR that addresses substantive comments that were raised during the review. It also includes those comments, and it actually responds to every comment that is submitted in one form or another. Following the final EIR, the lead agency will adopt findings for each significant impact and adopt the mitigation measures formally, as well as a mitigation monitoring and reporting program, which is a legally binding document to ensure that the mitigation measures are actually implemented. And once that's done, they can certify the final EIR and then proceed with their decision-making process on the project itself. As shown on the flowchart, oh, I didn't know that I was doing that little fancy arrow thing. Okay. Once the lead agency decides that an EIR is going to be prepared, the first step in the process is to issue the NOP, or the Notice of Preparation, and that notifies agencies and the public that an EIR is being prepared and solicits their input on the scope and content. Scoping is the process of determining the scope, content, and focus of an EIR, and it helps identify the environmental issues up front and also possible mitigation measures, alternatives, and also assessment methodologies can be brought out at that time as well. The state CEQA guidelines identify the specific environmental topics or resource areas that are to be covered in an EIR, and they include these 15, aesthetics, air quality, biology, cultural resources, geology and soils, greenhouse gas and climate change, hazardous materials, hydrology and water quality, land use and planning, noise, population and housing, public services, recreation, transportation and traffic, which includes parking and utilities and service systems. The state CEQA guidelines also require that the EIR not only evaluate and identify the direct project impacts, but the indirect impacts as well as the cumulative impacts, which are those impacts of the project and other projects together. And then we also evaluate the alternatives in the EIR as well. I'm going to turn it back to Joe to open up for comments.
Okay, so again, real quick, for those of you who haven't already done so, you can provide your comments verbally tonight as well as in writing. And if you do provide written comments, we have comment sheets at the back table as well as sign-in sheets so that you can get on our contact list and mailing list for the project. And please submit your written comments to me at cedorj@co.monterey.ca.us or at CEQA comments at co.monterey.ca.us. Or you can mail in your comments to the Monterey County Resource Management Agency Planning Department at 168 West Allis South Street in Salinas. And all comments are due by 5 p.m. on September 19th, 2014. And again, for more information, you can go to our public website at the listed at the bottom. So is there anyone else?
And again, we're going to ask to limit comments to 3 minutes.
Didn't have an opportunity. We had an open house over at Fort Scrub tonight, so thank you for spending night. I know it's been a long evening for you. I'm Bill Phillips. I live at 2928 Congress Road. So my first question is, how do we become on the mailing list and for the subsequent review of the EIR and a copy thereof? Is that typically, I've been involved in this in 20 years, they used to mail out to interested parties, people that were affected. Can I leave a card to be on the mailing list? How's the best way to be put on notice system?
Please sign in at the back. There's a sign-in sheet. Okay. Yeah, you. Where you can place your address and email address.
Great. And I know probably my comments are reflected the comments of the audience earlier, so please, I'll be really brief. Certainly the parking is an aspect. Literally every project is approved is typically inadequate parking in the area. And because of the site and location, this particular project, any overflow parking is going to be impacted not only in the Del Monte Forest area on the side that I live on Congress, or certainly in the Del Monte Park area. So the parking aspect, certainly. Second of all, the visual resource of that area. Again, now since the road was opened up, that was the original area where they did the sand from the Boro Pit down to Spanish Bay. That was the original conveyor belt line that went through down Congress Road. So the reestablishing reforestation of the area was dictated, and I understand that the Greater Monterey Peninsula Plan butts right into the coastal plan right at that area. So you have these two pieces that don't quite fit together, and that was throughout the 80s and 90s was one of the major problems that we had was looking at the entire project in that area, not only the LUP and development of the Pebble Beach Company, but also the Area D. And this piece kind of got slipped through the cracks, and that's the problem we have right now. Certainly through the various versions of the Pebble Beach project, this area was always, even though perhaps not permitted that way, conditioned, was always a trade-off for the borough site, the reforestation of that area, the Spanish Bay development, and then all subsequently when they tried to reuse the borough site easement, again as an offset for the development, again was offset to, really this area was meant, shouldn't say meant, was represented for the last 30 years to be an area that was going to be an offset for all the cumulative impacts of the development.
Got 1 minute. So
certainly in the tree loss, and also I know it's referenced in the land use plan, in the 82 land use plan. I'm not sure if it's referenced in the 2012, but the unique environment or biological resource of the pine and the coastal live oak groves. I think there are only identified two or three areas in the country club where you have that unique setting of Monterey pine and the coastal live oak. On the other side of the offset at Congress and Forest Lodge, much of that area was offset because of that unique relationship. And I don't know if that is something that's been brought up earlier. So the trees, the visual aspect, and then in terms of looking at alternatives for the project, my understanding that the economic aspect of it is not one of the pieces you look at. Because certainly when you look at, which has always been represented to be where they, it would go up at the corp yard, I mean, the location to their employment, the minimal disruption and biological damage to the area is really a key piece I would hope we looked at. They've talked about travel times. I don't know how that's going to be calculated. The travel time and two services for SFB or for the Area D site versus the corp yard and how that is going to be calculated. And then the cumulative traffic impacts in that area. So the trees, the traffic, the parking, alternatives, economic impacts would be things I'd love to see included, and I will sign in. And again, thank you so much for staying after and being able, at least for me, be able to put my comments in. Thank you very much.
Anybody else?
If there's no one else who would like to provide any verbal comments, then thank you all for coming tonight.